This is the Dean Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of the Dean Show. We'd like to thank you sincerely for tuning in. You're coming to the Muslims to learn about Islam, which simply means to acquire peace by submitting to the owner of peace, the one God. And when one becomes a Muslim, one who has submitted to the one God, he declares that there is no deity, there is no God except God. In Arabic we say Allah. Jesus said Allah, because he spoke Aramaic, he didn't speak English. And then you establish the second pillar of Islam, which is the Salat, praying to the one God. And then you also fast during the month of Ramadan, you give the zakat, which is the poor due tax, and you do the Hajj, the pilgrimage, which is what we're going to be talking about today here on the Dean Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
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 Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you.
Alaykum assalam, peace be unto you too.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you to Allah, how are you?
Thank you for being with us again.
Thanks, it's always my pleasure.
You have your own section on thedeanshow.com. People can go and see some of the other shows that we've done together.
Yes, that's wonderful. I ask Allah to accept it from me and from everyone from the Dean Show team.
Ameen, ameen, yes, yes, yes. And you know what? They heard me explain Islam. It's that simple. No guesswork, everything's been laid out, and we can explain it in 30 seconds, the principles, the creed, the five pillars, the foundation is very simple to explain. It's logical, it's rational, and we went over the four. Let's just briefly, I did it in a minute, can you just go over them one more time in 2 minutes?
Oh, absolutely.
And then we'll get to the fifth pillar, please, go ahead.
Absolutely, the first of the five pillars is the most important, which is to accept that there is no true God except Allah the Creator, not worshipping anyone with Him. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a messenger of God, as well as believing the other messengers. So that's called the article of faith, and that's what when a person pronounce and believe in it with their heart, that's when they enter Islam. And then after they do that, they have to establish their connection with God, with Allah, and that's to be done a minimum of 5 times a day required through different times of the day. And that's where the Muslim will always feel like he's reporting to God. So that always keeps him on the straight path. And then we have the third of the five pillars, which is zakah, or what we could call as a charity, that the person, if they have a certain amount of wealth, they give back not to anyone, but to the people or the poor people who deserve to get from that about 2.5% of their wealth to the poor. And then also we have something that the Muslims have to do 1 month every year, which is fasting. And that's where, like, that's the training camp for the Muslims, so that they would have the manners and the patience, and they would renew their faith for the rest of the year. And then we, as we're going to talk about today, the fifth pillar, which is the pilgrimage, where the Muslim, if he's able to do it, both financially and as well as health-wise and the other requirements, then they would do, once in their life, they would do a pilgrimage and they would go to the city of Mecca to do certain rituals and answer, as they say, the call of Allah, the call of God. And they show their devotion and their to the one God through that one-time pilgrimage, which is one of the most beautiful things, as we're going to explain in this episode.
So that was real simple, and that's the five pillars of Islam. The main one, there's no God but the one God. Muhammad is the last and final messenger, and that would include Jesus, Moses, and all the other messengers that preceded him, right?
Yes, and as we will see, this is something that is not new to Islam, okay, or what Prophet Muhammad brought. All those acts of worship and the pillars that we talked about were practiced in one way or the other in the previous, and dictated by the previous prophets as well.
And that's what we're getting in today, the Hajj.
Yes.
So let's kind of connect it back, go back in history, and give them some education on how this started and what was being done back then, or this was this something new just invented with the last and final messenger?
No, as we know, one of the prophets that always, messengers of Allah, that always comes up to mind when we mention the word Hajj or pilgrimage, is Prophet Ibrahim, or what they call in English Abraham. And that's why, that's where the name came from, the Abrahamic faiths or religions that we know about. And Hajj in itself, we will see that nearly all the elements in it are connected to this family. So we could say that one of the five pillars is actually, it's one of the things that talks about a family and originated from a family. And the family of Abraham with his wife Hajar and his son Ismail. So the first thing we look, if you saw the black box or stone, or what they call it, the Kaaba, if you see that in the news or you see it on the television, this was originally built, and it was built by a father and his son working together.
Was it Abraham?
Abraham and Ismail.
Ishmael.
So the Ishmael, yes. So they were, it's here we could see the first element of a family relationship, and a father and a son working together on it. And then we would see also another element, which is the water that the Muslims drink over there, the water of Zamzam. And then again, that was because Mecca, as we know, is in the middle of the desert in Saudi Arabia. And the mother and the child, they were, Abraham, peace be upon him, has left them. And there, the only, it was completely, there was no water and nothing to eat. And that would show us how they depended on Allah or on God to provide that for them. And at the same time, the father wasn't just didn't just leave them. He was praying for them until Allah or God accepted that prayer and they got that water. And the mother had to go back and forth between two mountains, what we call today Safa and Marwa.
These are the rituals that
we do today. And we do this because it always reminds us of how this mother depended on God and how she didn't just depend and sit and wait for help to happen, but she took charge. She was trying to go back and forth to look for that water until on the seventh time, after so much patience, that's when Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Exalted, that's when her prayer were answered and she got what she was asking for.
So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, just the same way, many people have a misconception that he's the founder of Islam, that he is one who made these things up. The same way we conclude with clear evidence that he is not the founder of Islam. He is just the last and final messenger, and Islam was practiced through all the messengers. And you're linking it back that he also, this Hajj, this is something that started with Abraham, was it right?
Yes, and people were doing pilgrimage even before the Prophet came. They would come to Mecca and the tribes would come to Mecca, and that's how the trade flourished in that region as well. So it was something practiced, but because a lot of un-Islamic or things that Allah or God did not dictate on people, they started to appear and people started to, after a while, go away from the teachings of God and they were lost. That's when a Prophet Muhammad was sent to restore it back to what it was at the time of Abraham, which is what people did when they came to do the pilgrimage.
Let's take a break and we'll be back here on the Deen Show with more.
I just want to say very simple message.
He is the maintainer.
One of the beautiful things about our religion of Islam is the emphasis on direct ritual and prayer to God directly. There is no intermediary.
The lights will go on after the party. And the party will end.
It's very simple and very clear. There are no superstitious rituals, no strange incantations.
Time is running out. We might not make it till tomorrow. And this is something that we need to think about.
Back here on the Deen Show with Sheikh Waleed. And we are talking about the fifth pillar of Islam. Now, we left off. Some people think that, okay, you're going to Hajj and you're worshiping the Kaaba. What would you say about this? Some people think we worship a black box in the desert. How would you respond to this?
Yes, no, we say that this is not really, they don't worship it, but it's through that ritual they show their devotion to God. How? We have if you look at all the acts of worship that the Muslims would do, some of it, if it's clear, what's the wisdom behind it? So, for example, when we fast, there is so much wisdom behind that. It's not just it shows first that we are devoted to God and that we will stop eating, drinking, and having intercourse for His sake. We have control of our pleasures. So once we have control of something that is normally permissible, then that makes us stronger to have control of not doing the things that are impermissible that harm the society. So this is what we do. That's an example that the wisdom is clear to us. But at the same time, also, we need to show Allah that we would also do things that He would ask us to do, even if the wisdom is hidden. And so that's also an example. Many of the rituals, we may try to say this is the wisdom behind it, but we at the end we say God knows best, because it wasn't revealed to us. But that's the test. So are you only going to follow the teachings of God when it makes sense to you? That's not called love. Sometimes in love, when you love someone, you would do something even if you don't necessarily understand, but it makes them happy.
Yes.
So and God has the best example. So this is something that we do. The Muslims go around the Kaaba, or the black stone, counterclockwise 7 times. And they're not just walking around like you see it. They are praying to God while they're walking. They're asking God for help. They're asking Him for protection. They're thanking Him for all the blessings that He gave. So that way we show that devotion. We're not worshiping the black stone, but we are there and we prostrate to it because God ordered us to do so.
Now you can actually pray inside of the Kaaba, is that right? Or even on top of it?
Yes,
and you could stand on it and give the call to prayer?
You could, yes, you could pray inside of it as well. And they open it several times a year to clean it from the inside and outside. And at that time, people who are there, they have the chance to get inside of it as well.
Is this also a way of unifying us to pray all together in one direction?
Yes, and if you look it on the map, you will find that Mecca is exactly in the center of the world. And that's why Muslims...
exactly in the center?
Yes, it's exactly in the center.
Is this by coincidence or something's going? Some divine intervention is here?
You could verify to yourself. You don't have to take our word for us. And there are studies that are done about
that's
this.
That's amazing. It's right in the center.
It's right in the center.
Wow.
So Muslims, wherever they are, all around the world, from the east, from Japan and Indonesia, all the way to the west, to the U.S. and Mexico, and to the north and the south, they would all be praying and facing that Kaaba, the black stone in the middle, and that's the way that we all feel that we are united. And you could see this clearer once you see the pictures inside the mosque of Mecca, where they are all circling around and pointing to that one center.
Now, if we're in Chicago or New York and we're getting together to pray to the one God, not to the sun, not to the moon, not to a man, not to a woman, but the creator of all these things, now imagine if we didn't have that unification. We say, hey, which way are we going to pray? And this person say, well, I feel like praying to the right. I feel like praying to the left. There's confusion, chaos, isn't it?
Yes, and that's why if you compare the beauty of Islam to different religions, you find in different religions, many people, there is no unified way of worshiping God. Some people worship Him through music concerts, some people worship through singing, some people worship through doing this, doing that. No, in Islam, it's because it's a religion by God. It's clearly defined how we worship God. It's the same way that we all do all around the world since the time and all time since the Prophet came until this moment and in the future, if Allah wills.
This is amazing. And you know what? Now you got to know. We don't worship a black box in the desert. No, you silly rabbit. We worship the creator of all that exists. And these are some of the answers that you're getting here, and you're sincere, open-hearted, open-minded, and you're getting enlightened. And this is exciting, isn't it? So we're going to go on now. Malcolm X,
yes.
He was very racist at one time.
That's true.
He was with a group called The Nation.
Mm-hmm.
But then he came to acquire peace from the owner of peace, Islam. And then he went to Hajj, is what we're talking about.
Yes.
And he left The Nation. He left these teachings, mm-hmm. the racism and everything else.
Yes.
And he was in Hajj. And let's talk about this, how he was so impacted. And he got to sit with blonde hair, blue eyes, lined up with the rich and the poor. Talk about this.
Yes, and that's one of the beauties that people who go there, just try, if you know anyone who went there, just try to speak to them when they come back. And they will tell you this feeling that you could it's extremely hard to put in words, this beautiful feeling of the unity. The unity on so many levels, in the right, not just in the rituals, but the unity, for example, they all wear the white clothes, the men mainly. The women could wear whatever they traditionally wear, but they were wearing all the hijabs. So the women are unified in the same clothes, and the men also are unified with their clothes. It doesn't matter, you're rich, you're poor, it's equality. No one knows who's rich and who's poor over there,
because you're in the same towel.
Yes, but Malcolm X, when he went there, he saw something that he didn't even know that exists on this earth. He couldn't even comprehend it, which is what? That people from all the races, we could talk about it as a theory. We could say that people live in peace. And now we saw that many nations were not able to reach the equality between different races, except by Allah. That, you know, if you don't treat them with equality, you may get a lawsuit, you may get this and that. But if we were right now to take these laws out, would it stay, would the same situation stay and people would not practice racism? We could watch the news and we could see the stats on the racism that happens over there. Yet when you see the Muslims do this voluntarily because their religion tells them to do so, and when he saw that all of them are equal and all of them are praying together and they're sitting and eating together and laughing together, everything, he could not believe what he saw. So he understood and he knew the true teachings of Islam, not the changes that were added to it and then what the nations of Islam were practicing. So that was the transition in his life.
Totally. This is something that eradicates. You can't be racist and be practicing Islam. And this is one of the things that he saw, and like you just elaborated on, and you go to Hajj, and people from all different races, colors, nationalities, they're there. And you're just doing the thing that's in your nature. You're praying to the one God.
Yes.
Not to a man, mm-hmm. a black man or a white man, but to the creator of the black man and the white man.
Yes, and even we see that on the leadership, the one who leads the prayer. Over there, he could be from any faith, from any color. When we look at the different groups of pilgrimage, we see sometimes a black person leading all other races, a white person leading a person from China, whoever is knowledgeable about the religion. It's about how much you're close to God. It's not about what your color of skin is. It's not about if you're rich or poor. We are all equal in the eyes of Allah.
And what separates us now? Is it? It's not our color or anything, but what is it? What separates? Because isn't there one hadith where the Prophet, peace be upon him, talks to us about that the human beings are like a cone? You know,
yes.
The cone. Can you elaborate on this hadith?
Yes, actually, that people are equal, just like if you want to
tooth
call them
of a cone.
The tooth of the comb. Yes, that's a literal translation. Yeah. That they are people are equal in everything, and this is not something that it's a modern idea. We have people who are still alive right now who remember how it was racism just 3 decades ago, even in the most advanced countries in
it
the world.
It still exists today.
It still exists. Yet when we look at the time of Islam, that even we saw this through how the companions practiced and how they were marrying each other from different countries. And even when other people accepted Islam from all around the world, the Persians and the Romans and the Egyptians, yet they were marrying from each other, they were living together for each other, and they were leading each other. So one person could be from this race, could be leading those, and in another region, the other way around would happen, where someone from the other race would be leading this. So we're not talking about a theory, they were actually practicing it.
This is amazing. We'll be right back with more here on The Deen Show.
There'll always be someone that'll be there to say something negative. But at the same time, there'll be someone there to say something positive also. So just hold on to the rope of Allah.
Everything in this universe rely and need Allah.
The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet never ever start a war against anybody.
If Allah is by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
I am not afraid to stand alone.
If Allah is by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone.
I am not afraid to stand alone.
If Allah is by my side,
I am not afraid to stand alone. You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying, man? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
Back here on the Deen Show, and we're talking about the fifth pillar of Islam, and we're connecting it back the same way Islam was practiced back at the time of Moses, Jesus' time, Abraham. They were doing Islam. They were submitting their will to the will of the one God. This is what Islam means. And the same thing, the Hajj in Mecca, if you look in the Bible, it's called Becca, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
So it's there.
Mm-hmm. And the Valley of Becca. Yes.
The Valley of Becca. It's mm-hmm. in the Bible.
Yes.
So this didn't originate with the last and final messenger. He just brought it back to its pure state.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Abraham, who was the, as you talked about, him and his son, who constructed the first house of worship built.
Yes.
So this is what we're doing.
Exactly. Well, people normally, when they attack Islam on this, they go to one of two extremes. Either they say that Muhammad completely brought a new religion that has nothing to do with the past, or on the other side, what they say is he plagiarized the religion
yes.
from others. And if you go, of course, we can't cover everything in half an hour episode, but if you go and do the research, you will find that, first of all, he did not bring a new religion. It was something that was practiced originally by all the other messengers, and you could find that even a lot of examples of that in the Bible and the other books. And if you read the Quran, that would clarify to you the message. At the same time, if you do more research, you will find that it wasn't plagiarized, because even the stories that are you would find the same in the Quran and the Bible, you're going to find details, different details in the stories, and these details as well, so it could be verified. Many of them could be verified by archaeology and by history and everything, and they were compatible. And just to we talk about a quick example of that, for example, the story of Prophet Noah when the water covered Earth. Now, in the Bible, it implies that it covered the entire planet. But in Islam, it does not mention anything about that. So if we check the historical accuracy of this, search it, okay? I don't have time to cover it because we have a few minutes left, but search it and see the comparison between the stories and see which one is more accurate, both historically and scientifically.
No scientific errors in the Quran. The Quran has a challenge that if you say it's from other than the Creator, Allah, find one contradiction, you can't find it. Never will you be able to, because is it indeed revelation from the one who is the most great, the most high, the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is amazing. Tell us now, please, Sheikh. Some Muslims,
yes,
they'll make pilgrimage or they'll make tawaf around the mall. They'll go back home to Bosnia, or they'll go back home to Egypt, or they'll go back home to wherever else, and they'll save up money. But now they procrastinate about making the Hajj. At what age, when should a person be rushing to do the Hajj, but they've, you know, been to 12 different countries and they haven't been to the Hajj? Is there a problem here with this?
There is a problem because this is one of the five pillars of Islam. So, and we know what the word pillar means. So if you die without doing this, I want you to imagine yourself in front of God and you're being asked about all those years. You had the money, you had the health, you had everything, but you procrastinated until you died. How could you answer that to God? Because you know that once you have the means to do it, which is the financial means and the health means and also the family means, there's nothing, there's no excuse for you not to go. Then why are you procrastinating? So many scholars said that it's an obligation on the person once they meet the requirements.
What are the requirements?
The requirements, as we said, the financial requirements.
Financial?
Yes, and also the health requirements. And certain, there's a lot of other requirements we can't cover in this episode. Like, for example, if a woman has any family member to go with her or not.
Okay.
So other
small details.
Yes,
but
small
if you got
details.
The money, you're physically able, the man, he got to go.
Yes, you have to
okay.
you have to go. Even others, a few scholars who disagreed and said that you could delay it even if you have those. But they said you will be questioned about why you delayed it. Do you have a
yeah.
reason or not?
Yeah.
So even this disagreement between scholars, it's a minor disagreement, but all of them agree on something, that's when you have the means, that's when you have to go. And if you don't, you'll have to answer that. And I personally wouldn't take that risk.
I wouldn't either. So we're wrapping up. Just one more, real briefly. Someone says, you know what? I don't feel like I've been called yet. I'm waiting for the call. What do you have to say about that? Have you heard this?
The call has been done thousands of years ago. And we see this. Allah instructed Abraham in the Quran and told him, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ, and call people to Hajj. And at that time, he did not say, there is no one hearing me. He was alone in the desert. He didn't say, no one is going to hear me, something. He did what God told him. And it's amazing, thousands of years later, about 3 million people are answering his call every year.
You're doing a class on Hajj. It's coming up. Talk to us about this.
Yes, this course will take place about 2 weeks before Hajj. It will be 2 days, one for people who are not going to Hajj. And it's going to talk about enjoying the journey as if you're there, actually. And we're going to talk about the wisdom behind it and everything. And the second day will cover in a lot of detail the act of worship and the different opinions about this. And it's not just about the rules, but also how to get the perfect experience out of it, how to come back a totally new person, and how to prepare yourself for the better and for the worse.
Jazakallah khair. We got to go. Time's up. Thank you very much for being with us again. And you got to hear it, the fifth pillar of Islam. Don't procrastinate. Death is a reality. It can approach and catch you at any time. So you already testified that there's no God but the one God, and Muhammad is the last and final messenger. You've established the salah. You've paid the zakat. You've fasted during the month of Ramadan. Now, the money that you've made, don't go back home. Don't go back to my country. Go back to the house of the one who created you. Allah, make this pilgrimage, because if death reaches you, it's too late. And you can go there and have the most wonderful experience in your lifetime. Don't let shaitan deceive you, trick you, and procrastination is the key tool that he uses. So if you've got to hear this, is another sign from Allah. So we got some time that you can start to get the package, get the trip, and go ahead and make the Hajj. And we got one request. Keep us in your du'as while you're there. We'll see you next time on The Deen Show. Peace be unto you.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There is none greater than the Creator.